Welcome back to Psalms, everyone. Here at Psalm 113, we begin a series of six known as the Hallel Psalms. Hallel means praise, as hallelujah means praise the Lord. The Hallel Psalms are honored in Jewish tradition, usually read at Passover. Also called the Egyptian Hallel, because the singing is weaved together with the story of God's great rescue from Egypt. And for Christians, it's fascinating to consider that Jesus and his disciples would have sung these very psalms together as they kept the Passover the night before he was crucified. What did these words mean to Jesus as he sang praise to his Father, knowing what was ahead? What did they mean to the disciples as they heard, or even more, as they celebrated Passover year after year and remembered Jesus? Well, to start pondering that, we begin with Psalm 113, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, you his servants. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised, both now and forevermore. Four times in the first two verses, we have praise. So let's pause to consider the word praise. Words are complex, and variations of meaning always depend on the context and specific form or tense. And with keywords like this, I find it helpful to understand the meanings of the same word used in different contexts, because they help us connect with what the original Hebrew writer and hearer would associate with the word. So the Hebrew word hallel means praise, but its root word halal means shine. The sun and stars shine, a lamp shines, and a little of that same sense is carried when God's people praise the Lord. As voices lift up praise to God, the congregation shines, our hearts shine. Now, I've always considered myself to shine the way the moon does, with reflection of his light, or perhaps more like a prism, his light shining through me. Now, used in another sense, the same word praise can also mean to speak well of. Speaking well of a friend or coworker is one of the most meaningful things you can do. It's a love language. Just think about what it means to you when you overhear someone speaking well of you. Now, the Lord doesn't need that encouragement in the way we might, but it still speaks love. And it's healthy for you to shine that praise where praise is due. All of that is here in the word praise. We shine a light on God's goodness, his light, and we speak well of the one who deserves it far more than any other. Twice in two verses, it is the name of the Lord that we praise. Name is personal. Like when you overhear the name of a great friend of yours, and you just have to speak up about them. But here in Psalm 113, that praise is so much higher. In verse 3, from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Now there's an incredible thought to lift the soul. Pay attention as we move forward, and we'll find that rising and setting, that lifting and descending, will carry the psalm up and down with nearly every verse. I'm not sure what musical style to give this psalm, but I know it would be a sound that rises and falls to carry that feeling, much the way Leonard Cohen wrote in The Minor Fall and the Major Lift, to describe both the movement of the song and the movement of the singer's heart. The psalmist leads us both up and down several times. And just picture the first one. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is praised. And it's true. It happens every day. Just picture what will happen around our planet this very Sunday. The farthest reaches of islands before the international dateline changes the day are found on the far edges of Russia in the north and New Zealand in the south, with Samoa closer to the equator. And of course, the land of the rising sun is Japan. And in all those places, the rising sun will be welcomed by congregations who will gather together to praise the name of Jesus. The languages change, the praise for Jesus is the same. And as the sunrise moves west, peoples will gather in many lands and many languages, from believers in house churches speaking Mandarin in China or singing in the many hundred languages in India, down south in Australia, and across the Indian Ocean to Arabic-speaking believers, Russian praise in the ice-cold north, Swahili songs in the heat of Africa. The sun moves further west, and congregations will gather in every language of Europe and Africa. The cultures and traditions will vary as widely as the peoples, but the name of the Lord will be praised. Off the Irish coast and across the Atlantic, over to our eastern shores in the Americas, Portuguese praise will ring out from congregations south, then Spanish in many parts. My family and friends will be among the last to join here on the Pacific coast, before the sun heads to the far islands of Hawaii and American Samoa. But in every location, there will be believers gathered to shine forth and speak well of the name of Jesus Christ. Now that will be quite a Sunday. And of course, I hope that you will be one of those joining us in praise. In verse 4, the Lord is exalted over all the nations, His glory above the heavens. Now we are lifted up again, and you can feel the whoosh as our thoughts lift up to the glories far above every nation, and even above the very skies and heavens above us. The Lord is exalted. For me, this psalm is a little bit like the Disneyland ride, Soarin'. It's my favorite ride at any amusement park. And if you've ever been on it, you know the feeling of soaring over the great pyramids and mountain peaks to see the whole world. That's the feeling I connect with this psalm. Verse 5. Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth? Now there's an unexpected twist. The psalmist lifts our thoughts all the way to God's throne, only to find the Lord our God stooping down to us. What a thought! What a difference from the lowercase gods of the world. The Greeks told stories of gods who hardly cared for mankind, whose whims and fancies might wreak war and havoc among us, but wouldn't be bothered to notice. Yet the one true God stoops to look. And put yourself for a moment in the sandals of the disciples at Passover, listening to Jesus read these words. At what point did they recognize exactly who was reciting this verse? The Lord stoops down to us. And notice that even the heavens are a stooping down for him. And in verse 7, He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes, with the princes of his people. Now there is a glorious turn of events. The final lift of the song is for the lowliest of people. He raises the poor. He lifts the needy from the very dust, from the heap of ashes. Looking closer at those countless gatherings of worshipers in Jesus' name, there are among them beautiful congregations among the poorest of slums in every part of the planet. God hears them. He inhabits their praise, and He lifts them. And in His great gospel, He calls them His own, children of the great King, seating them with the princes of His people. Amazing. And in verse 9, He settles the childless woman in her home as a happy mother of children. Here the psalmist speaks of God's hope and comfort to the childless woman. Now, I will not attempt to speak with knowledge about an experience that is not mine, but several of my close friends have known this struggle, and it is deeply personal. It is for good reason that this hurt is one that God speaks to personally many times in Scripture. From Sarah to Rachel to Hannah to Elizabeth, God's heart meets each one, and He brings hope and healing. And for all of this, we close as we began. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.